Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, heat is certainly on our minds this week, and on Thursdays in July, we can take a little break from the high temperatures to think about air conditioning. Our guest every Thursday this month is Stan Cox, researcher at the Land Institute and author of a book about air conditioning called Losing Our Cool. Stan, thanks again for joining us.
Good to be with you again, Brian.
So Tuesday was evidently the 110th anniversary of the first plans for modern air conditioning for a printing plant in Brooklyn where the heat and humidity made color printing a mess. So the invention of air conditioning was tied to business growth rather than human comfort?
That's right. Yeah, that is what is categorized as process air conditioning. It's not for the comfort of the employees, but for the process of manufacturing. And in fact, last year I went in kind of a pilgrimage and went and snooped around in that building in Brooklyn, which isn't a print factory anymore, but you can still see where the vent outlets were. The people of Florida would argue that a physician named John Gorey invented the first air conditioning system back around 1850. He wanted to keep malaria patients cool, so he used a steam engine to produce ice and blew air over the ice.
That's interesting history. And the Times article on Carrier's invention listed the companies that started using air conditioning: a paper mill, a pharmaceutical plant, a movie processing plant, a tobacco warehouse, a candy manufacturer, and a bakery. So as we've shifted from manufacturing to service industries, how much air conditioning is used today to keep plants and equipment cool versus keeping office workers cool?
Well, it's far more now is used for comfort air conditioning than for processing, both because we've gotten more out of manufacturing in this country and of course, because we've gone very much more to a service economy. And this was back in the 30s when, after Freon was invented and air conditioning became more efficient, the industry was saying this is going to be a very powerful economic stimulant and it'll get us out of the depression and so forth. And it certainly has been essential to the rise of white-collar industry in the South and the Southwest.
So, listeners, could you do your job without air conditioning? Have you ever worked in an office or any work environment without it? 212-433-WNYC. Construction workers, have they ever come up with a way to air condition the site? 212-433-9692. Or post your comment to our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show for Stan Cox, author of Losing Our Cool. I think you've written that the biggest economic impact isn't on productivity, but the fact that cool stores mean more shopping. So it drives consumption?
Right. And the New York Times a few years ago did a little survey in Manhattan and found that the more upscale the clothing store, the lower the temperature in the store. And I believe it's it sounds like a kind of a long-running fight in New York about stores leaving their doors open so the cool air coming out will attract people in, which seems like a pretty expensive form of advertising.
And it is a pet peeve, I can tell you, here in New York of many energy consumption conscious folks.
Right. But it is a powerful economic stimulant. And in the with productivity in the office, there are some studies showing that people may be kind of like computer chips. The colder you keep them, the more efficiently they run. Other studies show that keeping people too cool reduces productivity.
Melanie in Livingston, you're on WNYC. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
I am a speech pathologist, and I work with children under three in their homes. And there's nothing quite like working with a screaming three-year-old or two-year-old in a home that's very, very tiny and not air-conditioned. It's just between the sweat and the screaming, it's overwhelming. And I get a lot of that because of the population that I work with. So it's pretty interesting to see the least.
So there's a difference when you go into a home with air conditioning from without.
Oh, yes. With almost seems like a luxury at this point, and without is just sort of the norm, and, you know, leaving drenched and full of not only spit, but sweat. It's just
but
it's
that's,
great.
And that's you. What about the impact on the kids you're working with?
I think it's a lot for them. I mean, I think they're kind of used to that environment because that's how they're living, but then I think mm-hmm. to add the stress of having to speak or having to participate in this, you know, challenging activity makes it even more stressful for them, so I feel like.
Melanie, thank you so much. Santos in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, Santos.
Hey, Brian, a longtime fan. I'm a retired teacher, and what I have experienced is that in the up to the late 80s or early 90s, the classrooms of the New York City schools, very, very few were air-conditioned. And then what you had in there were these giant fans that were really more like wind machines. So there wasn't much learning and teaching going on because, first of all, it was too hot, and second of all, you couldn't hear each other.
Yeah, thank you. And Stan Cox, for you, as kind of a skeptic of air conditioning or too much air conditioning, here we are having somewhat of a national debate about whether to reorient the school year, because the reason we have summers off in the first place was to accommodate the agrarian calendar that most Americans lived on and the kids were needed in the fields, or at least so the legend goes. But if we're going to have 12-month school calendars, then they're going to have to put air conditioning in a lot of schools where they don't have them all over the country, right?
Right, and schools have been sort of the last outpost where air conditioning is still not universal, and it partly is because they're not in normal operation, at least in the summer. And it, but with the increasing use of air conditioning, there are these year-round proposals, and also recess has been eliminated in a large percentage of schools now. And I think all of these things are contributing to what one author has called nature deficit disorder, children spending more and more time indoors and especially not being out in the summertime when they could be out roaming around in the great outdoors.
Joseph in Suffern, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Brian, and a very interesting show, as always.
Thank you.
No, I probably couldn't do my job without air conditioning right here, but I did have an experience where I had to. I spent a week a couple of years ago in our company's office in Geneva, Switzerland, where air conditioning corporate buildings is illegal.
Really?
Really. They just won't have it. And after the heat wave in Europe a couple of years ago where hundreds of people died, I was wondering if they were going to change it, but I haven't heard that yet.
Why is it illegal?
Most of the time, if you leave the windows open there, it's not so bad. And they just don't think it's worth the energy, I guess.
Joseph, thank you. Did you know about that, Stan?
No, I didn't realize it was illegal in Geneva. I know that Europe as a whole accounts for a very small part of world air conditioning use, even though in Greece, Italy, Spain, and the warmer countries, it's become much more common. That's not really where the global growth is going to happen.
Let me sneak in one more call, because I think we're getting our first ever call on this show from Tel Aviv. Sandy, you're on the air. Hello from New York.
Hi. So the only place I've ever worked without air conditioning is a sleepaway camp. And usually when that happens, everyone just ends up gathering in the only space that has air conditioning, which is the main office. And you've got about, you know, like 100 people trying to be in a really small space. But I don't think it's so easy to work without air conditioning.
Was that sleepaway camp at the Negev or what?
No, it was in upstate New York, back and forth.
Thank you very much. Of course, I worked at sleepaway camps in the Adirondacks, and there you don't need air conditioning. Stan, before you go, you have compared the economic impact of air conditioning to that of anabolic steroids on human metabolism. Is it more like baseball or more like cycling? No, I'm kidding. Are developed countries cheating, in your view, by keeping year-round productivity via air conditioning?
Well, it's I don't guess it's cheating. Anything goes usually in business, but I think it is one reason that you see China, India, and other countries going head first into the air-conditioned world. One thing they should be, if they do that, they should be thinking about, no discussion of air conditioning in business would be complete without talking about the complaints about overcooling that one hears so often, people having to take sweaters and space heaters to work in July. Whatever the effect on productivity, it isn't necessarily making people always more comfortable.
Stan Cox, researcher at the Land Institute and author of Losing Our Cool. He is with us every Thursday in July to talk about air conditioning and its effects on us. Next week, we'll hear from people who've chosen to do without air conditioning. Why and what tips for staying cool have you discovered? Stan, thanks a lot. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.